Hello and welcome to Ex-Tumblr Girls, a podcast hosted by two ex-Tumblr girls turned modern Tumblr women who have been fangirls our whole lives. I'm your host, Tori.
I'm your host, Carly.
Let's talk about Tumblr. Actually really not talking about Tumblr this week.
Yeah, we're talking about the fandoms that didn't get to see the side of Tumblr, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're gonna get into it later, but I do wonder what kind of content would have come about if I was on Tumblr when I was seven.
Yeah, well, what's up with you? What's new?
Since we last recorded, I got a new tattoo, a big one.
Nice.
It's very itchy.
Oh, shit.
I dyed my hair. I don't love the way it looks, so I have to dye it again. So it's just a week of appearance modifications for me. I really, really am resisting the urge to bleach my hair. But I feel like I give myself a month.
Yeah, I mean, you've been fighting that fight your whole life, basically.
Like... And I've always done a good job when I bleach my own hair. I've never had problems doing it myself.
At the end of the day, you know, it grows back. You'll be fine.
Exactly. It's the hair that I'm going to be bleaching hasn't been touched in 4 years. So it's all completely like virgin, healthy hair. So I really think it could take it and not sustain a lot of damage because I'm not going platinum. I just need to get like a little bit lighter so I can put a color on it.
Yeah. Our listeners might not know about your adventures in the last few months.
Girls, I had literally such a nightmare hair experience back in October. After I got my big girl job last summer, I was like, oh my God, I have the money to start going to a salon again. And so I started going to a salon again and I went for a root touch up closer together than I usually do because my stylist said to, and she burned off like a third of my hair down to like 2 centimeters long, and it was crispy, it was thin, it was scraggly. I like couldn't wash it because it would get like stretchy when it was wet. So I've been through the absolute ringer. Luckily it's been 6 months and my hair grows really fast, so it's that quite long. I know, I'm holding out my hair for Carly to see, but it's quite long given how short it was when she burned it. So yeah.
Basically like an undercut that was
it was insane. It was so bad. But it was bleach blonde. So for the past couple months, I've just been putting color on it to give it some like conditioner, but also to like get the most out of my blonde hair. But I have finally returned to dyeing it black so that I can get extensions.
Nice.
But now I have split dye hair. Is the reason of all this. The side of my hair that I haven't been dyeing for the last 4 years is now under the gun and is getting dyed because I can't just have one color hair.
And that's fair. And, you know, at least you know that about yourself. You're just being honest with yourself.
I just have to feel like me, and having split dye hair makes me feel like me.
It's late.
What's been up with you, Carly?
Oh, God. Well... school is insane. I'm graduating in 3 weeks and really not thinking about it at all. Don't ask any questions.
No follow-up questions, I promise. No.
I have been influenced by my boyfriend who loves video essays, and I've been watching some video essays with him, and I really get the appeal.
You gotta tell me about you text me about them sometimes, but have you watched any particularly good ones this week?
So there is one by Brody Deschanel called Greta Gerwig Representation and the Universal Girl, which is a lot about Lady Bird and the pitfalls of calling a piece of media a representation of girlhood, which is what a lot of people did with Lady Bird. I definitely recommend it. It was very insightful. And probably will have to listen to Rehash since everybody's been recommending it to me. And now I'm like, okay, at least I know who I'm listening to. And that's always a plus when starting a podcast.
Maia is very well spoken.
Yeah. And I really enjoy her videos. I've also been rewatching The Last of Us. Who's surprised? Nobody should be.
It's been, what, a month and a half since ended?
So while season one was airing, I told myself, I was like, I am going to wait a long while after the season is over. I'm going to let it marinate. I'm going to take a break from it, and then I'm going to binge it. And it's going to be beautiful. And I'm going to be able to see it from start to finish. Well, about a week ago, I was like, you know, it's been a long time since the season ended. And I looked at the calendar. I'm like, okay, actually, it's been like less than a month, but nothing is stopping me. I'm only on episode 3. I'm taking it a little bit slow. I'm not, because I don't have time to binge it. But at the same time, I'm also putting on the Last of Us Part 2 gameplay in the background while I'm doing work. Because with The Last of Us, it's all or nothing. It just consumes my life. And this is why I decided. This is why I told myself I needed to take a break. It's really a problem. It's really a problem.
I really want to watch the, like, compilation of season 2 cutscenes, because I haven't played the game and I loved season 1 of the show. So I feel like I could either starve myself of content until the next season comes out, or I could watch the, like, season 2 quote unquote movie and then yearn for the next season.
I would, if you haven't already rewatched the game, or I guess you don't, you probably don't remember when you watched the game for the first time.
That's so true. I watched it back in like 2013.
Yeah, when it came out. I also watched it in 2013 when it came out. Who would have thought? But I would definitely watch part one of the game. It's a lot shorter, so it's a little bit easier to get through. And then you'll be able to tell if you like enjoy watching a game movie, because it is not the same. Like, you are missing out on a lot of like the gameplay is kind of a part of the story, so when there's those awkward cuts, it's a little bit awkward. But I mean, if you watch part two, then I'll be able to talk about it with you, so I can't really convince you not to.
I think it'll probably happen eventually when I like run out of other content.
I mean, I'm sure recording season 2 is going to take a really long time.
Yeah. Speaking of recording shows, that's a weird transition to use, but whatever, I'll take it. Did you see they announced they're making a fucking Harry Potter TV show?
Well, no, I didn't. And I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, because I remember it got tossed around a few years ago, but I thought that we were better than this as a human race.
Yeah, we're not. HBO Max is turning into a streaming service just called Max.
Yeah,
great. Because they're merging with like Discovery.
I think it's Discovery
and something else, maybe Warner Bros. They're merging with Warner Bros. Too.
Well, I think Warner Bros. Owns HBO, but yeah, something like that. Yeah,
whatever. I could not give one shit less. That's also the worst name from like a SEO standpoint, because Max is so unsearchable.
Yeah, I don't know, but who was in the room when that decision was made, but
I don't know, fired. But all I know is that it's been promised to be 10 years, 7 seasons, so a season for each book, and JK Rowling is going to be involved, and they're also recasting, obviously, and it's like there's a problem with every part of that.
Yeah.
But I think beyond hating J.K. Rowling with every like fiber of my being, you can't fucking recast that cast.
No. Yeah, like I have my problems with this story and just the universe in general. Like, I don't really feel as, you know, connected to the Harry Potter fandom as I was when I like first read it. And before J.K. Rowling's transphobia became like her, you know, primary calling card.
Yeah.
But those movies were good. They were good.
Yeah, they really were.
And they adapted the books like the best that they possibly could. And I just don't see the point in redoing it.
I know. And they're like, we're going to explore more of the world. And I'm like, I don't care. What I want is to like every 3 years, the week after Christmas, I want to watch all 8 movies in one sitting and then not think about it again for another several years. Because in those years that I don't watch it, I forget everything about it. And then I watch it as if it's brand new to me.
Yeah, because the movies are like entertaining and I mean, they're just fun.
Yeah, they're good movies.
And I just feel like anything new that is created within the Harry Potter universe is just not the same.
Because yeah, it's I don't know now. Yeah, since she's gotten on her like transphobe soapbox the like past however many years, I just feel like somehow they're gonna be like, no, the show is gonna be so close to the book, and then somehow she's gonna make the show be like, welcome to the wizarding world, we hate trans women. Like,
she's gonna make the whole plot about that somehow.
Yeah, seriously. It wasn't enough that the actual plot of the show has a literal slur for eugenics terms.
Oh my god.
It's just not going to go well. And yeah. I'm not going to watch it. I don't think anyone should watch it. But that's my personal opinion.
I have a hard time believing that it'll actually be renewed for 7 seasons. I feel like it might get one. Nobody is going to watch it. Hopefully it gets canceled and taken off the platform.
I feel like so many people have built up the justification in their minds of like, no, I just enjoy the franchise, but I don't associate with JK. And it's like, yes, you do.
Yeah. She is
like, she's making the money. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of problems with the Harry Potter fandom.
Yeah. But pretty good fanfic writers.
That's true. I know. And we're not going to talk about it. Nobody needs to know.
Anything else new?
Well, specifically to make memes for the pod.
Yes.
I downloaded Whisper, which I literally had never heard of before. I looked up like how to make the memes with this specific font. And so I downloaded it, and man, did I see some crazy shit that's probably like illegal. There was some things that were kind of shocking, like a lot of children, and the way that the platform runs, I still don't really fully get it. I think people just post it, just pictures and text together. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty like popular meme format, I guess. Mm-hmm. On Tumblr. But you can just post whatever, and a lot of times it's like confessions. Sometimes they're funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're really dark.
It seems like it's kind of like the after school app. Do you remember that from when we were in high school?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was called because I don't think I used it. But it was,
I think it was called After School.
Oh, maybe.
But like you could post things and it was based on your location. It was kind of almost like Yik Yak.
Yeah, I do remember Yik Yak. But yeah, it's, I think this one is more on a global scale because I couldn't really tell like where, like who was posting them at all. It just was like one dashboard and then you could search things.
So weird.
Really weird. And it was just like such a wide range of content. And anybody can respond to it. And they could respond to it with a meme, or they can just like text you or like, you know, DM you. And I got like 20 messages from
I saw
because I made one that was just, I love to lie. If you follow the Instagram, you'll see it. And everybody's like, what do you like to lie about? Like, I got that message like 12 times. I'm like why are people actually DMing me? It's weird.
Like, I'm lying about having Alexandria's genesis per my last podcast episode.
I'm like, also, like, the picture that I chose was a girl with a purple eye. So I'm like, what do you think I'm lying about? Connect the dots.
It was just a good meme. But they were like, this is a confession and I must know.
Yeah. And I just worry for young teenagers on the app. Please, if you have younger siblings, make sure that they are not on this app because it really is concerning to me. I don't know what to do about
it. Yeah, I wonder, like, in a concerning way, I wonder if that app has, like, a underground use, you know?
Probably. I almost 100% certain that it probably does. I mean, if it could happen on Kick, it can happen on Whisper.
Yikes. I forgot about Kick.
Yeah. Kick has got to be a whole episode on its own. We can't get into
it. Oh my god. I actually don't know if I could bear it.
No, that's fine. We don't have to.
But anyhow, other than that weird meme app, this week I've been on my crochet shit. Hold on. I'm going to show you.
Look at that.
I'm showing Carly a very large... Yeah, it's a very large one. I'm going to make it really big because I'm going to fold it up like an envelope and make it a book sleeve.
Wow.
That I can like put a book in and then put the book in my tote bag so the pages don't get like the edges don't get screwed up. I know, I saw it on TikTok. And then I was like, I bet I could do that. And there's a yarn event at Michael's this week and I'm going to go buy new yarn.
Oh my god, you're gonna be a yarn fiend, because my sister is also really into crocheting, Morgan, and she is, when she worked at Michael's, she was just constantly buying yarn. She had like $50 in Michael's rewards every week, and I'm like, that's gonna be you. I can see it happening now.
I literally, it's not even like a good sale, it's buy one get one 50% off. And I'm still gonna go and buy a whole bunch of colors. Last time I went, I got like 2 or 3 colors of yarn and stitch markers and yarn needles and a new hook maybe. And it was only like $13 after my coupon. So yeah, I'm about to get a whole fuck ton of yarn.
They also have some at Joann's and it's a lot cheaper there. And they have more sales.
Yeah, I saw that they have, when I started crocheting, like the first week, they were having their big yarn event. So I got some yarn there. Nice. Should we, oh, you're drinking my favorite drink.
I know. I actually,
the Two Chicks Paloma.
I was hoping that you would recognize this beautiful can design. Oh my God. Chef's kiss. It is just design. Beauty.
This, I found this drink at the liquor store last year just because the can was pretty and I'd never had a Paloma, which for those of you who don't know is a grapefruit cocktail with tequila in it, and it's my favorite drink in the world now because I love grapefruit and I really prefer tequila to other alcohols, but this can is so pretty and it's carbonated, it's so refreshing. I love that brand.
Yeah. And it's really rare to find, I mean, maybe not rare, but I would say it's uncommon to find canned drinks that don't have, like, malt in liquor. And malt is gross.
Canned cocktails, I think, are becoming more popular.
Yeah, like, there's, like, High Noon. High Noons, too.
Yeah. High Noon actually just put out, their whole thing was that they weren't malt. They were a vodka seltzer. And now they have tequila High Noons. Tequila seltzers.
Oh, wow. I'm not even a tequila girl, but... these Palomas are really good. And I do like Two Chicks brand, and they do have other types of cocktails.
Yeah. Well, before I got distracted by your beautiful drink, should we get into the purpose of this episode?
Yes, I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about our very first fandoms, the ones that we wish were on Tumblr, but unfortunately weren't around long enough for that to happen. We already talked about One Direction extensively.
Yeah. So One Direction, even the Hunger Games, which we all know I'm still into now, were around in the era of Tumblr for sure. But we're backing it up pre-middle school, you know, I would say pre-seventh grade predominantly. I feel like sixth grade was still I didn't have any social media in sixth grade.
Okay,
I got social media in seventh grade.
I don't remember what social media I had, but I probably was around the same time as you. And I never really posted on Instagram or anything.
I did, but that's a story for a different day. But we're backing it up to the pre-social media days when there were just little websites and dolls and monthly magazine subscriptions and nowhere to talk about it except with your best friend.
Yeah.
And so, because we didn't get to talk about it back then on an online forum, we're doing it now as 22 and 23-year-olds.
And a lot of these fandoms hold a special place in my heart. And yes, I'm calling them fandoms because
yeah,
we can do
that's
that.
That's what they are.
They are.
We didn't have the language for it back then, but we were fangirls.
We were. We definitely were. Where do you want to start?
I mean, I think we just need to address the elephant in the room, which is American Girl dolls.
You were obsessed.
I had too many American Girl dolls. I had a lot, which is to say, I know I was a very lucky child because those things were freaking expensive.
Yeah.
But I would also save my birthday, Christmas, Easter, anything money, and buy myself one doll a year. So I powered up that $80 to get myself a new doll every year.
That's impressive.
But I actually, before recording this, I was like making notes and I was trying to remember all the different dolls I had and my parents were listing them all. Mom was like, well, you had that girl Julie, the 70s girl, you had Kaya, you had, and she was like, did you have Josephina? And I was like, no, I didn't have Josephina, I had Samantha.
All of my sisters and I had one. I mean, maybe not my youngest sister, I think she wasn't really into that, but my older sister was Samantha girl, I was a Molly girl, don't remember. Morgan, I don't remember who she was, but I loved Molly and I treated her so awfully. I know, I remember when I would come over to your house and you would show me your American Girl dolls and they were in pristine condition, they were all dressed up, they were,
I had OCD.
Well, I did too, but I didn't, my American Girl dolls were not a part of it. Their hair was always a mess. They looked awful. They never had their clothes on. And they were just thrown in the back of my closet. Like, oh my, I had God. Them, but I didn't really care about them. I did love the magazines, though.
I, on the other hand, cherished my dolls. My American Girl dolls were where I learned to French braid hair. Because I wanted to, like, do their hair up. I got a couple of them. I got their ears pierced at the store so I could put little earrings in them.
Oh, my God. I always wanted that.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. I had, like, a good mix of, again, this is saying from, I know it is ridiculous how many of these things I owned. But a couple of them I did get from my older sister when she, like, grew out of them. I had a few, like, Girls of the Year. I had some of the historic girls. And then I don't remember. Sometimes there were just like random ones.
Yeah. I'm not
but
sure.
But I know I had Julie, who I think was a historic because she was from the 70s. She had like long, luscious blonde hair. And she was like groovy.
I know who Julie is. I know what she looks like.
I remember my favorite by far was the like 2007 or 8 Girl of the Year, Mia. She was an ice skater.
Slay.
I had an old one that was my sister Jess, who the only thing I remember about that one is that I had an inflatable kayak for her.
Did you use it?
Yeah, always. Like, not in water, but like she was always in the kayak.
Oh, I see. Just for the vibes.
It was just part of the character. I had Samantha, who was a historic girl. I also had Cecile. She was like one of the newer historic ones.
I don't remember.
She was
her.
From New Orleans during like the 1800s. She had like beautiful dark curly hair and like a petticoat under her dress. I went hard with these things. I loved the accessories.
Yeah. And it's like alternate shame that outfits. I got rid of like all of the outfits and all the accessories almost immediately. Not like I got rid of, I probably just lost them.
Oh, I still have them all. Like, my parents are like one by one selling my old American Girl dolls, which is like good. I don't want them. My parents actually a couple years ago were like, "Do you want these? Like, do you want to keep them?" And I was like, "No." But I'm glad you asked because part of me wants to say yes.
Yeah, it's still a little personal.
Oh, I also had, I think I'm gonna mess up her name because I want to call her Kelani, but I know that's a singer. Oh, it was Kelani. She was a girl of the year. She was from Hawaii, and her hair was like down to her ankles.
My God,
And I
same.
remember being so sad that I couldn't get her shave ice stand accessory. It was all I wanted in this life.
God.
I also had Kit Kitteridge,
I
the
really liked her,
icon.
and I did like her movie.
Yes. Who was that in that movie? Was that Anna Sophia Robb?
Or Abigail Breslin.
Abigail Breslin, maybe Dakota Fanning?
They're
They
all
all look
interchangeable ones.
the same. But Kit Kitteridge was a journalist, girl.
Yeah.
She was an inspiration to us all. And then I don't remember the others, but I remember that my like main form of entertainment at like 9, 10 years old was watching different YouTube channels of older girls who owned a ton of American Girl dolls. So in my mind, these women were a lot older than me. In reality, most of them were probably like older teenagers. But
Yeah.
the one, like, I'm pretty sure owned her own home. So I think she was like married and in her late 20s.
Okay, good for her.
And this was just like her jam. And I so respect that because, like, honestly, the more I grow as an adult, I'm like re-enjoying things I liked as a child. And I, you know what? If American Girl dolls was the thing, like, I have the budget for it now. So if that was gonna be my hobby, I would go all in too.
Yeah, and that's your right as a woman.
But I followed these YouTube channels of these girls that had like tons of dolls. Like, I'm talking like 40 plus.
Yeah.
And when they would get the girl of the year, they would get every accessory and they would do unboxings where they would like take it all out and show you all the little tiny pieces and like put it together and like try on all the outfits and show you how to style their hair and like read you like from their book. Like, I just remember, I don't remember what girl of the year it was, but she had a whole camper van. And I watched the videos of unboxing the camper van like over and over and over because I was just living vicariously through it. And I also, when I was younger than probably the time that I became obsessed with the material part of it, I would also watch like people who did either like stop motion or like very poorly camcordered like skits with their dolls. And there was drama. There was
Yeah,
drama between
I
these
can
dolls.
imagine.
It was such a wholesome time.
Yeah.
And this is also probably like where my passion for crafting began. Because if you recall, in the AG magazine, the monthly magazine, at the end of the magazine, it would have like a little craft you could do to like make a little item for your doll if you were like, I'm thinking back to it now and it's like, are you poor? You can't afford the real accessories? Here's how to make a little folder out of some cardstock.
I mean, you got
But
the job done.
I so vividly remember this is like the standout one because my mom brought this up for like years afterwards. And like, I think people were teasing me about it a little. I did get bullied in middle school for still liking American Girl dolls. But you know what? That's just who I was as a kid. I was just trying to have fun. And I was just for the girlies. Like, that's the time where everyone was like growing up and like, I don't like dolls anymore. And I was like, wait, I still like dolls. Like,
Yeah.
I was just for the girlies. But I would make little pencils for my dolls out of
That's so
toothpicks.
cute.
I would draw a little piece of paper that was the height of the toothpick that was yellow and then a little strip of pink. And I would cut it and I would tape it to the toothpick and then I would roll it real tight around it and tape it again. And it would look like a little pencil.
That is so cute. I
And I
love that for
had
you.
dozens of them because I was good at making them, so I just kept making them.
But that's awesome. I mean, you know, maybe getting in touch with your inner child and like discovering things you like again, maybe you should just start making little miniature like objects. That's a thing. That's a valid craft.
I am obsessed with watching like miniatures on TikTok. Like, oh my God, they sell like kits for it at Michael's where you can like make like a little room and it has You have one?
I do. I have not started it yet.
Or maybe should I have a girl's afternoon.
Yeah.
And the one that make I got, tiny things.
The one that I got is a little cafe, I think. Yes! It's like a bookstore cafe. Yes! But it's from another country and the English translation is so bad and the instructions are impossible to follow. So that's why I'm not doing it.
Honestly, oh my God, you know what we should make? Have you seen Book Nooks?
Maybe.
So it's like essentially like almost like a box set sleeve that would fit like one or two books in it. But you make like a little scene that you then put in between your books on your shelf.
Yes, I have seen those and I do love them.
I think maybe that is my next hobby, is that maybe I should start crafting book nooks and get back into my miniatures era.
Yeah, I mean, I've also kind of reconnected with my crafty younger self doing bookbinding. It's definitely not something that I could have done back then. But now I'm living my best life binding books. I made like an actual book.
You saw it. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. I don't honestly know what I'm gonna use it for, but
the days of cutting out three little rectangles, folding them in half, and stapling them in the middle to make a magazine was just your foundation work for bookbinding.
So true. And oh, I made those magazines very frequently. Oh,
and we made magazines. What other kinds of dolls were you in the fandom of as a child?
I think my favorite dolls were probably Barbies. I was a basic bitch in that way.
I don't think it's basic. I think it's classic.
Okay. You know, you're right. You're right. I still had Bratz dolls and Meissen dolls. Just, they were usually like gifts because my mom thought they were slutty. Which is, you know, there's a lot to unpack there.
Like, in her defense, she's not totally wrong.
No, not totally wrong. Also,
the Bratz dolls would come in, like, these teensy, teensy, tiny little shirts that covered their little perky boobs.
Yeah. And I remember, like, 2014 when Emma Watson made that feminism speech and everybody was like, feminism? What is this? Around that time was when people started critiquing, like, the Barbie figure.
Yes.
And I'm like, I want to say that the Barbie figure is way more realistic than the Meissen dolls.
The Bratz.
Or the Bratz doll. The Bratz were bizarre, but that's okay.
The Bratz were the Kardashians of the dolls.
Yeah. And I know that there are some dolls coming out now, because when I worked in an elementary school, all of the girls like these dolls. I don't remember what they're called, but they are kind of like Bratz dolls, just more stylized.
The LOL dolls.
Yes, LOL dolls.
The little girl I used to babysit had one. She had a couple, and they were kind of like a cross between Monster High and Bratz dolls.
Yeah, they're very quirky, and I think that's kind of like the new thing. But I loved the Barbies. I also treated them horribly. None of them ever had any clothes on. I don't know where the clothes went. I think they probably just got lost in my house.
They were in the middle of an outfit change and then just forgot to keep changing.
Yeah. And I had like a classic dollhouse that was like plastic, but it wasn't like a Barbie dollhouse.
Same.
And I would use that dollhouse to, you know, have my cinematic moments with the Barbies. It was always, maybe not always, most of the time involving some sort of crime. I was also, my role in my hierarchy of sisters was I was the bossy one. So Lauren, my older sister, she was bossy because she was the oldest, but I was manipulative. And I forced my younger sister, Morgan, to play with the dolls exactly how I wanted them.
Oh my God, that was so me.
Yeah.
I was a dictator. My mom sometimes
brings it up. I asked my mom recently for an art project. I was like, can you tell me a memory of me? And she's like, when you forced Morgan to play with your dolls in this really specific way.
Oh my God.
And would tell her exactly what to say. And I'm like, okay, well, not the memory I was hoping for.
It's giving OCD.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked all of those dolls. And I also spent a lot of time on their websites because damn, did they have some fun games.
I remember when Barbie got their, well, okay, Barbie always had online games because they had the CD-ROM games first. Did you ever play those? There was like a couple different Barbie CD games that you could like put in your fucking tower computer in the disk drive, and it would load up a program and it had games. I had a couple of them as a kid that I think they were really from the 90s and that they were my older sister's.
Yeah.
But I loved them as a kid.
I did like some CD-ROM games that I will have to add to the roster now that you brought it up. but I don't think I had any Barbie ones.
I had a Barbie veterinarian one that this is so specific. So amongst our like small and mighty listener base, I actually don't think anyone else will know what I'm talking about. But there was this Barbie veterinarian game. And one of the games was you had to like catch all the animals they'd gotten out of their enclosures. And you could not catch the fucking monkey for your life. It always ran off screen. It took hours.
God. You were a gamer girl.
Oh my God, I so was. Me and my like 2 month Animal Crossing phase.
Everybody has it.
But I was going to say about Barbies, you always had all the Barbie movies. You had all the Barbie movies. And we would watch them in your mom's minivan.
Yes, because it had a TV.
Yes. Which is insane. Which was a flex.
I mean, they don't even, do they even make?
No, because now kids are just expected to have their own iPad.
So true. But yeah, I loved the Barbie cinematic universe. I've seen all of the movies in it multiple times.
Yeah.
My favorite is probably the 12 Dancing Princesses.
Interesting. Unpopular fave, I feel.
It is a little bit unpopular. I mean, I loved them all, and I probably watched Princess and the Pauper the most.
I feel that's the most common favorite.
Yeah, but something about 12 Dancing Princesses got me. It was just, maybe it was the magic. I don't know. Loved their Rapunzel. Loved their Swan Lake. Barbie Swan Lake is a masterpiece. It is beautiful. And
the corresponding game on the Barbie website for the Swan Lake decoration. Yes, Love that one.
Yes.
I think my favorite Barbie movie was maybe the mermaid one because I loved mermaids.
Yes.
Loved mermaids.
I also loved Fairytopia. Fairytopia was good. Not Thumbelina. Thumbelina was another one, but Bibble.
The
little creature. I love Bibble. I have so many memes saved on my phone of Bibble because he speaks to me.
But I also like I had like a good number of Barbies, but I also had some like random like knockoff Barbies again from the 90s from my sister.
Yeah, I definitely had a few outliers.
I had this memory just reoccurred to me. I had Cheetah Girls Barbies from when the Cheetah Girls movie came out on Disney Channel.
Yes.
It was a set and big flex. They had a tour bus.
Oh my God, you had the
tour bus? And I had the tour bus.
Oh my God, that is a flex.
It had like, it would like open up really big. So like the wall came down and it was like a vanity and then the back came out and there was a dining table and then the roof went up and there was a tanning bed and then the bed dropped down and it was a hot tub.
Oh my God. That does remind me that the one doll that I did have a lot of like the accessories and the like the buildings and cars and all that were Polly Pockets because they were smaller and it wasn't like a huge you know, dollhouse, like the Barbie dream house, which is what I always never wanted. Never. Oh, God, my inner child does want that really bad. But I did have quite a few of the Polly Pockets. Like I remember having a hot tub. I remember having a rock star stage.
Oh my God. Thing, yes.
Something like that. I did like the Polly Pockets branding. I did really like, and I did like their website as well.
Do you remember when their website got a makeover and like it all looked different and Polly World got like an update and they got rid of some of the old Polly World games?
Yes. I remember like there were always those moments on those like websites
where they got an update.
Yeah, when they got an update, because it wasn't like now things are getting updated like every few weeks. This, like back then, it was like a huge deal when they did this update. And it was usually like a huge like visual overhaul too.
Because they were like rebranding generally to make the like images more modern. So when the Polly Pockets website got rebranded, it was the like 90s, early 2000s. And it switched in like maybe 2009. So there was a long time.
Yeah.
And it like, it got more updated. Her eyes were bigger. Like the graphics were all brighter. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, oh, where are the old games?
Yeah. Oh my God. I love those games. I especially love the room makeovers.
Yes. Always.
I love the room makeovers. They go so hard.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh, speaking of Polly Pockets, the one like little set that I had, I know exactly what Rockstar World you're talking about, and I wanted that one. But I had a little pool party one that was like a little pool with two slides down into it.
Oh my God, the whole moment.
I know, and I would fill it up with a little bit of water so they were actually in the pool.
I do remember filling mine up, my hot tub up with water, and I felt like the coolest bitch in the world.
Exactly. Like, oh God, that stuff was just so fun. Like, I really hope that little girls and little kids today get to have those kinds of things and have them be like innocently fun and not tainted by phones and social media. Because I feel like now, even like the Barbie dream houses and like, for example, the LOL dolls, like they all come with a little iPhone. Really? And it was like I think so, because it says like all like the text abbreviations all over it, where it's like LOL, OMG, BFF, like because they're like tech worldy.
Okay, I see that. That and makes a lot of sense.
Like I feel like there was no dolls in our time that were like tech. I mean, I guess the Monster High dolls all came with a little cell phone that was shaped like a coffin, which was so iconic. Which, to transition into, I loved Monster High dolls.
I know you did. I remember them. I remember you had a whole setup in your closet.
Yeah, sounds about right. I didn't even remember that. That's so funny. Now it's coming back to me.
Every time I would come over, you'd be like, you want to see them? And I'm like, yes, even though I see them every time, of course.
Yeah, I had a whole bunch. Again, something that we're selling now. And they're actually like, they sell well on like eBay, because I guess they had like a resurgence recently where the company had gone out of production and now they're back. And people are trying to buy the old ones because they look completely different. Well, not completely different, but they changed the faces on them. And some of the dolls I had were from the original run, like the very original dolls. And people try to get them because they're like collector's items. And my OCD little child ass took such immaculate care of them that they look perfect. And I think I still have the boxes for some of them.
Yeah, I do remember you always had them on their stands, which I always just thought was so impressive, because I just had them like thrown in my closet or like just in a random location that I could never
find. Like, don't know how my parents didn't know I had OCD and took me to like a child psychologist, because my dolls were all like standing at attention with their wrist bent the same way, like in a perfect outfit. Like, I'm remembering now, like the little clip that went around their waist, I would like pull the clothes out so they weren't bunching, like in that clip. But I had one set that it was like, it must have been for a birthday or something. They had put out like one of their movies, you know, that were they ever even on like DVD or were they just on YouTube?
I don't know. I thought they had a TV show.
They had a TV show? I feel like it was just on their website.
I don't know. I never watched them, but I do remember seeing some
clips. I think it was just on their website and maybe YouTube, but they had one where they like went to an island and they put out a special box set of the dolls all in like vacation wear. And I had that and I'm trying to sell it now.
Get your bag, but really.
It was like a Target exclusive and they only made so many. So like, the collectors, hit me up. But this was another thing that I like watched YouTube channels of other young girls that had, I mean, with the Monster High dolls, girls had hundreds of them because they bought every single one that came out, because for every episode or movie or whatever, they put out a new of every single doll.
Oh, because they all had different outfits and stuff.
Yes, but I was really obsessed with the website. And, like, watching the, like, short things and, like, learning about their personalities and doing, like, you could make, like, a school schedule in your own character. And I remember one very specific dress-up website that had each of the Monster High doll girls on it. And I would play them for hours. And, like, now that I'm thinking back, I'm like, how did I play a dress-up thing for so long? Like, you just drag the clothes. But I would sit there playing little scenarios in my mind, like making up scenes, and I would change their outfit accordingly and then just like talk to myself in my head and then change their outfit again.
Oh my God, your imagination.
I was born to be a writer.
You should have known then. And that is a strength that I don't think a lot of kids have nowadays, the amount of imagination it requires to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it also spoke to that maybe I was slightly lonely as a child, that I was sitting there just talking to myself.
Maybe. But that's okay.
But I loved it. Like, it made me happy.
Yeah, and if you have just good memories from it, like.
Yeah, until I started getting bullied for it in early middle school, because everyone was like, why do you still like dolls? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't know that we were past this. Like,
kids are so judgy.
Had kids not been judgy, I would have been one of those people that, like, collected dolls, like, into early high school.
Yeah.
But instead, I got bullied, and then I started listening to Sleeping with Sirens. So, here I am.
Oh, my God. The Natural Pipeline.
Yeah, the American Girl Doll to Warped Tour Pipeline.
I think you may have invented that pipeline. Because I actually don't think that applies to many other people.
But the Bratz doll and Monster High doll to bisexual pipeline is like a 1-to-1 ratio.
That is true. You contain multitudes.
I'm looking at our list. I also forgot. I don't know. Did you ever have Thai girls?
I did not.
So Thai girls were from the brand that made Beanie Babies, Thai, like T-Y.
Yeah.
And they were like plush dolls. But again, they had a code on them that you could log to a website, and then they had a whole world.
Yeah.
Much like a Webkinz.
All of the dolls that we had, pretty much all of them had accompanying websites with them. But there were some that existed only on the website, like Pixie Hollow, even though it was based on Disney. But
yes,
the Pixie Hollow site was quite special to me, and I know to you as well. It was fun.
Yeah, I think I liked it because I was gay and I had a crush on them because they were pretty and like snatched. Like, I always had a crush on, like, the villainy kind of one. I forget what her name was. She was the purple one.
I know what she looks like.
I always liked the bad girl. Oh, my God, yes.
I don't remember. I just remember she had really long black hair, and she was gorgeous.
Yeah, she was Gorgina.
Yeah, I loved that website. And I know that they went under like a rebrand, but now I think that it's like something kind of completely different. And they got rid of like the doll customization, which is such a shame. That was the best part.
You know what I loved about that website was how you would like go from place to place in Pixie Hollow and like collect leaves and berries from like around the screen. And then you could go like bake a little pie or like make a little purse out of leaves.
It was cottage core. It was their origin cottage core.
Oh my God. Crunchy girls loved Pixie Hollow back in the day.
But I can't withstand talking about Webkinz for any longer because Webkinz was my safe place. Webkinz is still my safe place. But actually it's probably not my safe place because if I'm on Webkinz, I'm in a depressive episode. Like there's no other situation when I should be on Webkinz as a 23-year-old woman. But I still sometimes find myself, you know, wanting to play Goober's Lab.
But see, I think it is safe. It's because it's like a little safe pocket of regression.
Well, when
it's back to comforting times.
Yes. And I have a lot of memories of Webkinz because whenever I would go to my friend's house, it's like, that's what we would do. Like my really early friends, it was like, okay, we're both going to sit on one of our Webkinz and just play.
Yeah. And
it was so fun. Like the games were so fun. All the characters. Webkinz was a website that often went under, like, not a rebrand, but they would like add new locations or new games.
It got updated often.
And it was always like a big moment when they were like, oh, we're going to add like the Star Factory or we're going to add the Clubhouse. And I'm like, oh my God, what?
The Curio Shop.
I had the Crown of Wonder, okay?
You had the Crown of Wonder?
I played enough that I got the Crown of Wonder. You bet I did.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And I would always go into the public like clubhouses wearing it. Because I was strutting my
flexing.
I was. I worked.
That was
that
hard
shit.
To get. You could only play that mining game like once a day, right?
Yes. Yes, you could.
It was the same thing with, I remember when they made the berry farm where you could like harvest berries every day. And the most rare one was the moonberry. And all I wanted was moonberry jam.
Yeah, I think that was kind of added later. And I think that was when I was starting to peter out on my, I don't even know what
addiction.
Addiction. I loved Tulip Trouble.
Oh my God, yes.
I really, really loved Quizzy's Word Corner. I think that's what it was called. You know, like the concentric squares.
It was, yes.
With letters and shit. And it was basically like Scrabble and or Boggle. More like Boggle, I guess. But I love a word game. We know this. And that started really early for me.
I loved when they added Atlantiles and it was just Mahjong, but underwater. Yes.
Well, no, the Mahjong one was not Atlantiles. Atlantiles was separate. The one that was Mahjong was Tile Towers. Oh. And that one is on the Webkinz app, which I do have downloaded on my phone. And I do play that sometimes. The music is like, it lowers my blood pressure as soon as I hear it. I'm like, it's like, I'm not going to go any further, but
they had Mahjong on the Thai Girls website, but something about the Thai Girls was it was very like pop culture-y. So it would play Miley Cyrus's Seven Things I Hate About You. So classic. I would just sit there and let it play like an MP3 player. Cause I don't think I had an iPod at the time yet.
Probably not.
But were you into like decorating your Webkinz home?
Oh, was I? I would get all of like the stuff from the same theme and I would set it up exactly how the preview had it.
So did I.
Well, that was the best. It was the best solution. So I'm like, of course I'm going to do it this way.
Oh my God. This is just another sign that I had OCD as a kid. I would take a piece of paper and write down the prices of every single item in the room, add them up, and then find out how many Webkinz cash I had to have to purchase all of it at the same time, play games until I had that amount of money, buy all of it at the same time, and set it up exactly as it was in the store.
You know, this makes me think you would really like Stardew Valley, because that is how I play Stardew Valley now.
That's how I played Animal Crossing.
Yeah. You were a gaming capitalist. That's okay. I mean,
I was not chill.
No, you weren't.
I was not relaxed when it came to Webkinz. I had a bunch, and I had all of their beds in one room. Where they all, I would like put them all to bed in the same room. It was like a little dorm.
It's a little bit dark. Is this like a cell or
something? Well, no. Some like of a bunker. Them had their yes, in fact. But some of them had their own room. Like I would make a theme room and I would assign it to one pet, you know?
Yeah.
And then others would go visit their room as if it were an apartment in a different city. Fair enough. I also had one large room that was like all kitchen appliances where I would go to like make all of their food. And then do you remember the update when they made outdoor rooms when you could have like a big garden? Remember.
Yes. And the treetop rooms and then the underwater rooms.
Yes. The treetop rooms were the coolest ones.
They were. I do remember those updates because I got so much joy from like being able to just decorate a room that was like had sky around it and I could have like a tree bed. And honestly, like, I mean, I have a pretty good memory of what they all look like because I am on it. I am active on the Webkinz platform, kind of. But like, honestly, the 3D modeling was not too bad for like the time period. And honestly, like the design of the items, they were all really cute. Like they did a good job at creating those, like those themes. Like there weren't any that I thought were like really ugly. Like they were a little bit campy, but it was Webkinz.
Exactly.
But they did undergo a rebrand and it's awful.
No.
It's like super modern 3D modeling. But they obviously don't have the money to make it actually look good. It's really a shame.
I remember, I think there was a point during COVID where everybody started playing Webkinz again because like we were all stuck at home and like didn't know what to do with ourselves. And I remember when whatever that plugin is that made every online game work got like taken off the internet. Yes. Adobe Flash Player. I remember then all of a sudden Webkinz stopped working.
Yeah. And now it's like a program we have to download. It's like a desktop app. Just not the same.
I'm trying to think what other parts of Webkinz are. Oh, I liked the function where you could go work a job.
That was so slay. I loved
where you could work one job a day.
I love doing the fence painting one.
Yes. I liked throwing the newspapers.
The newspaper. That was so fun. I loved
being the doctor's assistant where you had to get good at typing.
I remember that one. I do remember the doctor's one where you had to put like an ice pack or like a band-aid on them.
Oh, it was a secretary one though, then instead, where it was like the check-in and it would have to like type out the names of the new Webkinz.
I wish I knew about that because I practice my typing at a very young age and I would have been really good at that. Do you remember when they added the school?
Yes. And I was like, each of my Webkinz have to go to one class per day.
You would take them all. You were a good mother. One at a time.
I know.
You were making sure they got their education.
I like always had one of each of their favorite foods like put in the fridge. I was, again, OCD.
But also very caring.
You know, nurturing. I learned from Webkinz. Nurturing and aesthetics.
Yes.
Putting together a room. Oh my god. Hello, Clover.
Oh my god. She's stepping on my keyboard. Clover's here. I was slingshotting treats at her with a rubber band. I was taking a rubber band and putting a treat in it and just,
yeah,
it and just seeing where it went. She got them all. She really liked it. And then she got bored, so I started using bubbles, and I was just blowing bubbles in her face, and she really did not like the bubbles. I digress.
Clover is a woman who knows what she wants, and it is not bubbles. Not bubbles.
Webkinz holds a really special place in my heart, but it was not the only animal website that I was obsessed with. I had a horse girl face. I was into the Bella Sarah cards. I'm not proud of it, but it is a part of my past that I must acknowledge.
You need to tell me about it, because I don't know anything about it. I never had a horse phase.
Well, it was really, like, I'm going to put the blame on my early childhood best friend who was a horse girl, like, rode horses, and she really liked them. I was definitely more into Webkinz, more into the random animals. So Bella Sarah came from trading cards, and they came with codes that you would then enter onto the website. And so I would always get the trading cards, usually at like Five Below. And then they also had them at like Target at the checkout, or like Walmart or something.
That's where I remember them.
And I had so freaking many of them. I had pretty much every horse that there was. And there were like Pegasus. They were like underwater horses. There were just regular horses. There were so many. And you would log onto the website, and unfortunately the website really didn't have much going on. There weren't a lot of games. There was only one that you had like a magic bubble wand that you could like catch butterflies with, which was very fun. But I mostly went on the website to care for all my horses, and I would go through each and every one of them and brush them, feed them, change their hay. I would like click the horseshoe to like give them good luck. And then I would go about to the next horse and do the whole thing again. And the underwater ones and the Pegasuses had like different stable setups. Whew, it was I really had so much fun doing that. And I do have good memories of it. I do also remember like pretending to be the horses. That is a whole other thing. But I mean, it's par for the course. What else could you expect?
There was a Barbie game where you would like decorate a horse's mane on the Barbie website.
Yes, it was like that, but like 10 times more, and just something about it. There was just the cards were also like really beautiful, and like the art really spoke to me, and I would like, you know, make my own, because I'm like, oh well, I don't make horses. I made dog ones. I was like, well, Bella Dogga, I don't know. I was like, I'm gonna make I want to make my own trading card line of just pretty dogs. It was a time. Were you on Club Penguin? Because I was not on Club Penguin.
Oh, yes, I was. I was a member.
You paid.
For like a couple months. I like begged my mom to buy me the gift cards. But yeah, I was obsessed with Club Penguin. Now, that's a website where I wasn't so much crazy about, like, getting the different clothes and, like, the stuff for the igloo. Like, I don't remember caring about that. What I was really into was the plot line, because Club Penguin actually had a plot line.
It is a story.
So, like, what? In addition to just being, like, a fun website, this is another thing that, like, over COVID, someone recoded a version of the Club Penguin website that you could play. And everyone started playing it. Like, everyone in I was in a co-ed fraternity in college, and we would have like events where we would all go online and play Club Penguin over Zoom together.
That's fun.
But in addition to like all the regular fun games, you know, like the pizza making and, the coffee game where you had to stack the bags of coffee grinds. I don't remember many of the other games, but in like, I want to say maybe third or fourth grade, they added new sections to the website. Again, like an update that was huge, right? Where if you went in this one part and you went through like a secret door, it would take you to this like it looked like a government agency. Like,
okay,
it was like the FBI of Club Penguin. And
oh my god,
you became a secret agent and you were searching for the Yeti.
What?
And you had to complete, I feel like you're making secret this up missions right now. No, I'm not. You had to complete secret missions, and they were like mini games, but also like cutscenes sometimes. Like, you would have to go search for things and search for clues, and like there was a, you had to like build a jetpack, and like you had to find all these things, and you could complete the missions, and then when you completed them, they would give you more missions.
The fuck.
It was crazy. And then like once you completed the missions, you could like play them again because you had like become like a complete secret agent. And then there was also an update where they added a karate studio where you could go play this like card game.
You know what? Okay, I'm just rolling with it now. Sure. I don't really believe you though.
Way more memories of this than I thought I did, apparently. But the secret agent thing was like intense to me. It was like all I cared about. I could not wait to get home from school to play my secret agent games.
Oh my god. That reminds me of there was a game that I played on Nintendo. I'm pretty sure it was a Game Boy game that you could like insert into the back. But her name was Natasha. She was a spy, and that's all I remember. But she was a girl boss, and
yes,
I did love that genre of games and shows and books and all of that.
Yeah.
But speaking of Nintendo, did you play Nintendogs? Because
yes, I played Nintendogs. Yes, I did.
I remember last time I went home and I was searching for my Nintendo, and when I found my Nintendo, I'm like, well, now I have to find Nintendogs. Couldn't find Nintendogs. I want that to come back so bad. Like, please release it on the Switch, Nintendo, please.
Oh my god, if they released it on the Switch, like, I still have my Switch, I literally don't use it, I've been thinking about selling it, but if they release Nintendogs, I would keep it.
Yeah, that game healed something deep inside me that I didn't know needed to be healed.
The dogs were like so realistic looking too.
Yeah,
I feel like the graphics were really good.
They were really good, and I don't know why, because there wasn't much like going on at the time that like had good graphics. Like, pretty much everything looked like shit.
Yeah,
but they really pulled through with that. I love taking my dog Chestnut, based on the movie Chestnut. He was a German Shepherd. Go watch the movie. But I love taking her to the agility ring.
Yes!
I also only had girl dogs because I was a misandrist as a child.
I had a little white dog named Snowball. And I remember when you'd have to teach it its name and you would have to go, Snowball. And then it would like not turn around. You go, Snowball. And it would turn around and you would go, yes!
No, it really taught us like the fundamentals of dog training.
And now I have a dog. And honestly, I think most of the to-dos are basically the same. I take her on walks. I feed her. I give her pets.
Yeah. Did you ever do like any of the cheats for it?
No.
Because, okay, it didn't work, unfortunately. But I heard a rumor that if you like put most of your dogs in the kennel, because I think you could have four dogs in your house at the same time. So if you left only two dogs at your house and you put roses in their hair and then you didn't go on the app for like a week, I want to say, that they would have a baby that was like a mix between the dogs. That never happened. But now I'm thinking back, and it may be because I only had girl dogs, that might not have been, you know, an inclusive cheat that I was trying to use. But I was really intense about Nintendogs. I really loved that game.
Yeah.
They were cute. I forgot to mention Littlest Pet Shops when we were talking about dolls. Which I can't even believe I forgot about them, because
I can't believe either. Hundreds, I was obsessed.
I had hundreds.
You had a lot.
I know. And now they all exist in my mom's classroom and the kids love them.
I feel like a fair amount, and I think we both had the same playset, or maybe we had different playsets. I had like a pet hotel.
I
like
had
that like
hotel.
opened up.
Yeah. I had a hotel. I had like a purple one that had like a swirly little slide on top.
I also had lots and lots of Littlest Pet Shops, and I remember I would buy them at Kohl's with my mom, and I was always looking for the special ones that had like a special little design in their eye. Like there were like the rare ones. I think people collect them again now. It's been like a thing on TikTok.
It should be, because they were cute. And they had like bobbleheads. I love the bobbleheads.
I think I really loved the ones that were like weenie dogs. I liked those ones a lot.
Yeah. So Littlest Pet Shops was another way for me to make my sister do my bidding. And I would have it set up as a school. I don't know why, but I would like organize. I'm like, okay, all the hamsters are going to be kindergartners. All the bunnies are going to be fifth graders. Cause I'm like, you know, I wanted a system. And I had so many of them that I'm like, this could be a whole school. This is like the size of my middle school, maybe bigger. So that's usually like the plot I would have. And I really wouldn't get to a plot because I would just be like organizing them all and like putting them in their classrooms and like making like houses out of shoe boxes or whatever.
Yes.
That was where I let my imagination run wild. I loved Littlest Pet Shops. I don't know if you remember like how obsessed I was with dogs, but I had a lot of dog Littlest Pet Shops, and yeah, there's a lot there.
I also had a couple Nintendo DS games for Littlest Pet Shops.
What?
Did you ever have those? Yeah.
No.
There were a couple Littlest Pet Shop DS games.
Why shouldn't I know about this? Wait, what? Did I miss out on this?
Now they have to bring it to Switch.
Wait, I'm upset. I'm actually upset. Why didn't I know about this?
I really don't remember what I did in the games. I remember in one of them, it was like planning a birthday party.
I'll have to look it up after we stop recording, but I do, maybe it was on the Wii. Maybe there's like something in like the peripheral of my memory. Like it's on the tip of my tongue, but like visually, I don't know. I'll check in with y'all at the beginning of the next episode with what I was thinking about. I'm going to write down the things I'm thinking, and you go. You take over from here.
I was just going to say, much like you only had girl Nintendogs, I feel like I imagined the majority of my dolls and even like animal type dolls as girls, because I was really just for the girlies. Like with the Monster High dolls, I never owned any of the boys. Could not give one shit less. When I had Barbies, I only had one Ken doll, and I remember so vividly one of the plot lines I often gave my Barbies. I'm sure this came from some movie or another, but it was kind of like a save the girl situation, right? Where like Barbie would faint and someone had to give her CPR, and Ken would go to give her CPR, and another Barbie would push him out of the way and be like, I'm gonna save her, because they were gay.
Fuck Ken. I didn't even have any Ken dolls.
I had one, again, my sister's from the 90s, and it was like, I just remember making Ken the biggest loser. Like all the girls were like, we hate you, Ken, and he would run away crying.
Well, listen, when you only have one, you need to have him serve his purpose. And if his purpose is to be a loser, that's his purpose. You know, you can't take that away from
like
him.
They were never fighting over him. He was never the center of attention. Barbie was meant to be with another Barbie. And I just knew that was how it was meant to be.
Always. There are so many other fandoms that we want to talk about. Like all of the shows that we were into, all of the books that we read. There are still like now I'm even just like, wait, I could talk about this, but we're gonna just have to do a part two, or at least continue this some other time when we talk about more specifics of our childhood interests.
Yeah, I feel like maybe we won't do a part two like right away next week. Maybe we'll leave it open and do it sometime in the future, give ourselves more time to think and like dig stuff up from our childhood basements and like find our old interests. But I definitely had a couple books that I would spiel about, and a TV show that I won't name drop. I'm going to leave it in a little bit of suspense. But I was definitely a girl who was all about dolls. Carly's making the secret gesture. If that is enough clues, you know, you know. But I was a girl who was all about dolls, and I had so many. And I think it's comforting now to look back and realize, like, I have just always been a fangirl. I've always needed something to be obsessed about. Except back then I was just like, how can I organize it? And now I'm like, how can I spend money on it?
That's growth.
Is it?
Well, it's growth in some way. We don't need to dissect that.
But we did discover in this episode that I think it's my time to get back into crafting.
Yeah. I think this is a sign to all the fangirls out there, because you probably did craft in the early fandom days. With whatever.
And if you don't craft, you should collect something. Collecting something, I feel, is good for our hunter-gatherer minds.
So true.
I hunt for rare vinyl and I gather them.
If I still had my Bella Sara cards, I would hold them, you know, they would be in a box locked away where they would appreciate in value, and then I could eventually sell them. And what?
Bella Sara tarot cards.
Oh my god. That is a perfect. Okay, I'm writing that down.
I think this is your next independent art project.
It is. Changing my bookbinding vinyl right now.
No one steal it. It's Carly's.
Yeah. Patenting. Not copywriting it now.
Everyone, I'll put like a poll on our story or something, but let us know what your childhood fandoms were. Yeah. I'm so excited to try to find memes to post on the Instagram for this one.
Yeah. Well, you know, now I have a Whisper account and I don't think I'm going to be deleting it anytime soon, because, you know, it's a necessity at this point.
Yeah. Everybody, shout out to Carly for making some of our memes. She is the meme queen. And you'll only be able to see it if you follow us on social media.
Yeah. So go do that, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We are so excited to have you here. Hope you tune in again next Thursday. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Our Instagram is @xtumblrgirlspod. Our TikTok is @xtumblrgirls. And we, of course, have a Tumblr. You can find us on there at xpodcastgirls.tumblr.com. And we kindly ask that if you're enjoying the pod, to give us a rate or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us connect with the rest of the world's ex-Tumblr girls. Come join, be our bestie, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.